Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. I pray that you just be with me as I speak this morning. Help this message be honoring to you, Lord. Pray that we'd be challenged and stretched, and that you would be glorified in all that we say, or that all that I say and do in this message, Lord. And just bless this time. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, so I call this message The Way of the Cross. And as I was preparing for this message, my desire this morning was to share with you something that I had learned during my time in prison that would be impactful and meaningful and that would glorify God. But as I considered all the things I had learned and all the things I had gained a new and deeper understanding of, one thing stands out above the rest, and one thing helped me more than anything else. And that thing is the gospel. And the full and true gospel. So when I was in prison, I was going through the time of greatest need in my life. It was a time of emotional suffering, physical suffering, and a time of great uncertainty. So I didn't know if I would be released or if I'd have to spend 28 years in that place for doing something that God called me to do. And I had many questions to wrestle with, such as, God called me to Mozambique. Is he now calling me to be in prison? Or how is being separated from my family God working all things together for my good? If I was convicted and sentenced, would I still say, your will be done? And during this time, I didn't need the latest feel-good devotional. I didn't need Christian self-help books. I didn't need the me-centered, superficial gospel that is so prevalent in the world today, which is this false gospel of prosperity. I needed the true gospel, the gospel that includes suffering. I needed the gospel that says, do not love the world or anything in the world, and that says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And what was life-changing to me was refocusing on Jesus Christ and my relationship to him and my relationship to the world through him and the call to follow him at any cost. And this gospel is found by reading and believing every word God has given to us in Scripture. So we'll read our text for this morning. If it'll go, there we go. All right, Mark 8:34-38. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So as Christians, we're familiar with the gospel, right? That we were enemies of God until Jesus redeemed us by dying in our place and raising himself up by his own power. And whoever repents of godlessness and godless deeds and believes in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. And that those who believe that Jesus is Lord over heaven and earth and over our very lives will receive the Holy Spirit, who will help us walk through this life on earth and help change our hearts to love him more and shape us into his image to prepare us for an eternity with him. But sadly, in many churches today in this country and around the world, the full gospel is not preached, and it's not even popular. We tend to promote a gospel where Jesus is here to serve us, and that we have very little responsibility. It is preached that Jesus is obligated to forgive us and bless us because we say we believe in him. But we have very little to no obligation to obey him. We create a gospel and a Jesus that doesn't require a changed life to be a Christian, where it is possible to feel like a child of God without actually making Jesus our Lord. This is not the gospel. This is faith without works. This is presuming God will save us without truly acknowledging him as the holy God that he is. A little bit of static there. Any suggestions, Dave? Or Pastor Mike? All right. He says that it's as if God is holding us over the mouth of hell, and he has no reason to restrain himself from dropping us in to eternal damnation, because we are altogether unclean and corrupt in his sight. But it's because of his sheer love and grace that he provided a way for us to be spared from our doom, and that through the death of his precious Son. And there aren't words to describe how great God's love is for us, that he would choose to do that. But in light of this sheer mercy, let us not presume that we do not need to obey his words, or that we are free to live as we please. Our self-centered version of the gospel often omits two critical truths, without which the gospel is not complete. And these truths are to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. So denying oneself means laying down our own desires and taking up the desires of our Lord Jesus. Denying oneself means putting God's will above our own. It means repenting of all that we know is sin. It means putting to death our fleshly desires and submitting to the commands that God has expressed in his word. This is what it means to be holy. And holiness is being set apart from the common and being set apart for God. And as Christians, we must not look like the world, but be set apart from the world through our obedience to Jesus. The Word of God says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" The language here shows that we have a choice. We have a choice to continue in our lusts or to deny ourselves and be holy. And if we choose obedience to what God commands, he will help us through his Spirit to continue in obedience. But we must take the first step in faith and choose to do what's right. And some may object saying, "Well, this is legalism. You can't tell me that I have to obey. My obedience doesn't save me. My faith does." But the Apostle James makes it clear that faith without works is dead. The true saving faith will, over time, produce a holy life. If faith is not producing a changed life, it is not saving faith. So legalism is me doing works to be righteous, to earn righteousness before God. But biblical Christian obedience is that I have faith in Jesus, that Jesus is the most holy, almighty God who loves me and suffered for me and made me pure. Therefore, I will obey him because I love him and I'm grateful to him. And I believe that he possesses all authority. Therefore, by faith, I deny myself and submit to God. So what does it mean to take up one's cross and follow him? And the truth is, you cannot be holy in a sinful world without suffering. Holiness is incompatible with the sinful world system. It is incompatible with the worldview of natural people. When we live and speak the truth of God's word, when we choose to obey God rather than man, those who reject God will reject you because you reflect God. John 3:20 says, "For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light so that his evil deeds will not be exposed." And this is the root of persecution, that people feel ashamed of their sin, and they seek to silence those who are convicting them. But taking up our cross means enduring and keeping the faith even through opposition and suffering. So to understand this better, we must look at what it meant for Jesus to take up his cross. So Jesus did the will of the Father regardless of the cost. He knew what the Father's will was, and he refused to compromise even to the point of death. Jesus suffered for doing the Father's will through his whole ministry. Because he was obedient, he was insulted by the national and religious authorities. He was called insane and demon-possessed. He was accused of deceiving the people. He was mocked and run out of town by the people of his hometown, and mocked even by his own brothers. People enjoyed his benevolence and then later shouted for him to be crucified. They honored him with their lips one day and then cursed him the next, all because he made obedience to his Father priority over all else. And Jesus took up his cross literally, too. He did not waver in faith, even through the physical pain and suffering and shame of the cross. There we go. 1 Peter 2:23 says, "While being abusively insulted, he did not insult in return. And while suffering, he did not threaten, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." And Jesus didn't fear suffering, defamation, and loss, but rather trusted God through suffering because he knew who God is, the only righteous judge. And as Christians, we must have the same attitude, which is the attitude of Christ. Taking up our cross daily also means to suffer for Christ because of our refusal to compromise with sin. It can be painful at times to deny our flesh and choose not to sin. It can be painful to be humble. It can be painful to refuse to lie and to put away sexual immorality and to put to death greed and slander and disrespect and coveting. It can be painful to remove ourselves from the place of God and put Jesus there instead. It is a daily battle to choose to honor Christ in every situation. But Jesus has defeated sin on the cross, and sin no longer has power over us. Though we suffer by saying no to sin, Jesus gave us the ability to say no and helps us by the Spirit to say no. But it's not automatic. We still must choose daily to deny ourselves. And saying no to sin may also have other tangible repercussions in our lives. Saying no to sin could cost us friendships and relationships with family. If your job requires you to do something that is dishonest to Christ, dishonoring to Christ, it could cost you your job by saying no to sin. If you have a career that you know harms people, honoring Christ could cost you your career. Obedience to Christ can negatively affect your financial situation, your education, and even your children's education. It can affect your livelihood, your health and well-being, and your freedom. And this is not usually preached in gospel presentations, but Jesus wasn't afraid to preach this. And this is what it means to be a Christian. Sometimes we view Christian suffering and persecution as a problem in a few foreign nations. But the reality is, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So let us not be prideful and say that we are willing to suffer and die for Christ if we are not willing to honor him with obedience in the small things, in our jobs and relationships. We are called to embrace life as a stranger in this world, for this is where you'll find true life in Christ. So we'll return here to our verse. Start with verse 35. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So my challenge to you this morning is to consider these questions of Jesus in these verses. Does it profit you to have comfort and safety and prosperity over following Christ? What would you be willing to give up in order to follow Jesus in obedience to his word? Do I have the faith to say that Jesus is more valuable than my career and my financial security? More valuable than my education and my children's education? Do we have faith that obedience to Christ is more important than my personal safety and my wife's safety and my children's safety? Or when the evil day comes and you are put to the test of choosing between your safety and obedience, will we be ashamed of Jesus and his words in this adulterous and sinful generation? And my prayer is that we would all choose to take up our cross and suffer with Jesus. And if we keep the true saving faith, and if we fight the good fight, if we don't deny him, and if we are not ashamed of him, then although we suffer, we will have Jesus himself as our reward, both today and through eternity. As he will never leave us, and he will give you grace to stand on that evil day as we seek to do his will. And Jesus is our reward for our suffering. And when we see him, we will know that our suffering was more than worth it. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to reward each as his work deserves." And this is how I was able to stand in faith through 4.5 months of wrongful imprisonment for doing what God called me to do. I knew that we were called to be like our Lord and take up our cross. And I was experiencing some of what Christ experienced, and I had close fellowship with him in that. And Jesus also suffered wrongful imprisonment for doing God's will. So
I felt his favor rest upon me during that time. Because he says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So finally, trust in Jesus and do not be afraid. Yeah, there we go. Trust in Jesus and do not be afraid. We shouldn't let fear of suffering control us. And Jesus says, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. So, just like to say this morning, just be faithful, regardless of the cost. And by faith, you will enter into eternal life with Christ by his grace. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your Son. Thank you that you died for us and rose again so that we could have life in you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be in your family, Lord. You called us to be your children. Lord, I pray that we would respond in obedience to all that you have for us. Lord, we know that we can never be perfect. We will always deal with our sinful nature. We thank you that you have grace for that, Lord, and that you shape us over the course of our lives to be more like you. Lord, I pray that all of us in here would understand the gospel more and just the wonders of what you've done for us. And I pray that we would all respond in love for one another and love for you, and that we would express that love through obedience. And bless our week, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.